Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And tonight, I have another great guest. His name is Jason Nelson, and he is a spiritual medium, an author, and a teacher. So let's bring Jason on. Hi, Jason. How are you tonight?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on, Nancy.
Oh, you're very welcome. Now, Jason, let's talk a little bit about, you know, what kind of got you to where you are now, and then I'm going to ask you some questions about, you know, a few more things. So can you kind of explain to listeners a little bit about who Jason Nelson is?
Sure. Well, I guess the best place to begin is my first memories, which were actually of spirit, of seeing spirits, and both as shadows and also as apparitions. And I remember that I was pretty comfortable with them. And then, like most children, you know, you're exposed to cartoons and movies and things that start twisting my feelings and viewpoint of them. So I began fearing, you know, these ghosts, as I began to call them. And kind of shut it out. I remember around, I don't know, 8, 10. And then I remember one time when I was in my teens, my grandfather came through the bedroom door in the middle of the night and as a white apparition and scared the heck out of me. And I remember hearing somewhere that if you tell God that you don't want to, you know, if you don't want spirit to be there, you know, if you make this demand or request that God will listen, it'll happen. So I said, I don't ever want to see spirits again. and from that point forward, I never did. And I still felt presences and things. And it actually, feeling these presences, it was quite a terrifying experience in my teens. And even into my early 20s, it would, you know, I'd even fear going to sleep, because basically all the programming that I was inundated with, and then my heightened sensitivity. But it started to kind of fade away in my 20s when I went to college. And mind you, though, I had no previous religious or spiritual training. You know, it's not like my family went to church or anything like that. And I really had no one to talk to about it, so I was kind of on my own with it. And, you know, when I graduated high school and began college, I started feeling this draw to understand these things that were happening to me all through my life. And, you know, I took different classes, and just about every class in the community college I started out in, and didn't really find my answers. I was pursuing music. Just music was my passion and my joy. And then in 2001, around July, there was an accident where I was near an explosion that really damaged my hearing and also took me off my music path. And so here's my love, my passion, music, and I can't pursue it. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do now? And lo and behold, on my 25th birthday, August 31st, 2001, just 2 months later, I had this presence come to me as God. And this was like something out of a movie. You know, it was around the middle of the night after my birthday party, and I'm lying in bed with a journal that I was given for my birthday, and I'm thinking, what am I going to write in this thing? You know, it was my first journal I ever owned. And this presence comes into the room. It was so strong, nothing I'd ever experienced before. And literally, the physical light in the room got brighter, and this voice began echoing in my mind, and it started saying, you will follow me sooner or later, and this will decide when you begin the next step to mastery. Take my hand. And it began sharing with me my purpose and where I'd be going, and it was teaching me all of these universal lessons. And rather instantly, all the misunderstandings and the concerns and the fears and everything that had kind of haunted me around the subject of spirit and this non-physical realm just instantly disappeared. And so not only did this incredible healing occur, but also I was given this gift of direct spirit communication. And also the ability to impart this to others, creating space where anyone can connect directly with spirit. So pretty much from that point forward, I just continued learning directly from spirit. I was led to a physical teacher, Catherine Beck, who's since crossed over in August. And between her wisdom and spirits is how I do what I do and know what I know at this point.
I think it's real important, Jason, you know, from what, you know, and those things didn't happen to me because I was very much protected growing up by my own angels.
Mm-hmm.
But the majority of the people who their psychic ability is there, and everybody has it, but some are actually more sensitive than others, they tell me the same kind of stories, kind of that you just told me about. You know, I could see this stuff, but it, you know, scared me. You know, at first it didn't, but then things changed my mind. And it's kind of the same stories repeated over and over again. And so I think it's real important, Jason, that people understand that everybody has the ability to really feel from their heart. But people, because of the way they're taught or the things that are told to them as a child or sometimes even as a teenager and an adult, they tend to sway, kind of like you did. And then there comes that point where you sway, but yet you're curious. And then as you get curious, more things start to happen that you really can't say, well, no, that didn't happen. You may not have anybody to talk with at the moment, but you can't deny what your heart and soul is telling you. So I think it's important that people understand that instead of fighting it or trying to not believe it, if they would just allow it, it would tend to make their life much better. I mean, would you tend to agree with that statement?
Absolutely. And my first book being Age of the Soul, teaching people how to live from the soul and actually tap into and use these abilities of the soul. And the second book being The Power of Children and Healing the Inner Child. Now, the second book that was given to me by a higher power shares this incredible wisdom about this very thing, that when we're children, we're very open. Everyone is. I mean, these are abilities of the soul. These are natural abilities everybody has. And really, everybody is experiencing to some degree, especially when they're very young. And then it begins to close down and we feel separate from these abilities or separate from our spiritual existence. And the truth of the matter is it is just simply belief. It's trusting what you're getting. Kids get these little impressions, and they'll share them with adults. And if they threaten adults' story about life, you know, or create discomfort in the adult reacts with negating what the child's feeling or thinking and putting it down. And the child learns to second guess themselves, eventually completely doubting what they're sensing and this kind of thing. So we're very conditioned as children. And I think as children or adults, it's just stepping back into that place of trusting ourselves. And I always say, you know, we're gonna fall, we're gonna make mistakes, there's gonna be challenges, and we can either go outside to the voices around us, you know, the people, the places, the things, and we can go through our challenges that way, or we can go within, and we're gonna still fall, we're still gonna learn from our challenges and things. So we might as well go within to this inner power that we have and learn that way and begin strengthening that inner voice that we have.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times when I'm doing the counseling sessions I do, I constantly tell people, truly trust what you're feeling. Don't ask other people, you know, because they're really not going to have a better answer than you already have. But you have to learn to listen to it because we're made to believe logically. And logic and that part of you that is so true really don't mix very often, if at all. And so people have been conditioned to go, well, that came too easy, so that couldn't possibly be right. Now let me think about this so I can see if I can make it fit some other way. And as soon as they do that, they've kind of messed it up a little bit. And I tell people...
That's a really good point on the simplicity and how people, they can tend to disbelieve because it is so simple.
Mm-hmm. It's very simple, but yet people really have a hard time with that, you know, again, because of our conditioning. So the book that you wrote that talks about the inner child, is that book designed for children, Jason, or is it designed for adults to find that inner child that they've tucked too far behind?
It's a read that's designed for teenagers on. For instance, I had a 12-year-old that did a book report on it and got a lot from it. It is more geared towards adults to help children, for us as adults to help the generations of children that are coming into the world. And also, really, it's the process of getting in touch with our own inner child and healing that and returning to that innocence, that kind of wonder about the world, the trusting, the faith. And in doing so, we're these role models for the new generations of children. And on that note about the simplicity, I have a very simple technique. My message, my thing is about bringing abilities like intuition, spirit communication, healing, our creative power, etc., down to earth in as simple and practical and grounded a way as possible. And I have a 3 simple step process that was given to me by spirit. And I say it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. And it's breathe, release, and imagine. And the breath, of course, connects us to our spirit, our body, unifies us. The 2, the releasing, is just clearing, releasing, letting go of any thoughts, etc. The imagining is the important part, because time and time again, when I'm helping people to go in and tap into the intuition and communicate with spirit and heal and these kinds of things, they'll say, well, is it my intuition or is it, am I just imagining it? Is there really a spirit here talking to me? Is there really an angel here talking to me, or is this my imagination? And it's actually both. And when we say, is it one or the other, we actually block that part of our mind that experiences these phenomenon, because it's through the imaginary creative part of our mind and consciousness that we experience these things. So I just tell people in the beginning, just imagine it. You know, if you were to imagine spirit here, and what would they look like? What would they say? If you were to imagine receiving an answer to your question, what would that be? And it's amazing how that gets people out of the way and opens them up to step back into that childlike experience, that openness.
It's funny, because one of the statements that one of my good friends makes, he's a numerology, he just says, when he's doing his consultations, he says, do yourself a favor, get out of your own way and allow it, which is true. This is exactly what you said. You know, but again, you know, people have such a hard time with it, Jason, because they either expect something immediately, and sometimes they get it, or they think there's something that's, you know, going to happen and it's going to create this huge difference in just a matter of a few seconds. And it can. But when they don't get that matter of a few seconds, a lot of people tend to give up. So when you're talking with somebody, when you're teaching, when, you know, you're showing them, and do they ever tell you something like that? Like, I tried and it doesn't work, so, you know, here I am. What do you tell people who maybe come up with that kind of a statement?
Well, the realm of the imagination, this whole realm of spirit, it's a realm where we're not in boxes, where we're not defining things, defining our experience. The whole door to this other realm is stepping out of the box of defining things and defining our experience. And expectation, attachment to expectation, this really confines us and defines what it is that we're going to experience. If we can imagine it as, you know, we take our 2 hands and we kind of put them together an inch apart, and when we have an attachment to an expectation of what we're going to experience, it's like we have that little space in between our hands, that narrow pathway that spirit and the universe can work with to bring people, places, things to us, to bring information to us, to bring experience to us, to invite us into this otherworldly, non-physical experience in existence. When we let go of that altogether and just put our hands down at our sides, let go of the attachment to our expectations, defining what the experience should be like or shouldn't be like, then we truly open up to that childlike innocence, naivety, magic, lore of life. It's that special place where we can truly appreciate every moment of life, whether it's a butterfly, you know, flying by and landing on your hand, or just a beautiful flower, or, you know, a hug, or a direct experience with spirit. The little nuances of life become so grand when we do that, when we let go of the attachment to our defined expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And
why
I just encourage people to do that and, you know, coach them along. And people do, surprisingly enough, they'll say, okay, I'll give it a try. And when they do, they're so surprised and amazed. For instance, I have a recent client who's a quantum physicist. He's been very left brain most of his life. And this was something that was challenging for him. But he did it. He took the step. It was out of his box. And as a result, he was kind of dumbfounded and in this place of such openness and such a light feeling and intuitive impression about himself and his life that it's almost like he was saying, I'm sorry, I'm just in a, you know, kind of a weird place. I've never been here before. And I said, no, that's the perfect place. And so people may feel uncomfortable stepping into this place because it's an unknown. And that's okay, too. We give ourselves permission to do that in order to experience something we haven't.
Mm-hmm. And again, I think it's all true. I think more people right now, Jason, are starting to work up. I mean, you know, let things happen better than they ever have. Well, not better, but better than they have lately. I mean, with everything that's going on, people are actually looking for a way to release their fears. They're looking for a way to create more love in their life. They're looking for a way to get, you know, their finances back under control. Now, you do classes that basically, or you do seminars that talk about that. Is that correct?
That's true. I do a teleclass, and it's a free service to the world. It's called Going Beyond the Veil. The next one's on April 12th. And that information people can find on my website. This class in particular, there's three parts to it where spirit comes through me and gives a message to help people, different things from relationship to, you know, helping them with abundance and helping them through the economic times to spirit communication, just really so many helpful things. Then there's a second part of a Q&A where people can come online and ask spirit questions through me and get answers. And then the third part, they connect directly to spirit. So my work is all about empowering people to do these things themselves. And in each class, I try to at least close with this empowerment that they're doing it themselves. Same last night, I hold groups in Los Angeles, in-person groups every month, called Spirit Empowerment Group. And we had a real big group, and the subject was intuition, and people were opening their intuition and stepping out of that box. It was a beautiful thing. People who had never done that before and courageously stepping outside of their comfort zone and leaving in awe of what they were receiving from others and the feedback they were getting when they do these intuitive readings. And people say, you're right on. So these are the classes. And I have done weekend workshops and whatnot in the past, but at this point, the teleclasses and the in-person LA events is where my energy is going.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're out in LA. Do you do tours? Do you go out on tours at all, Jason?
Yeah, I have. I've been to Vegas and all through the Western states, and but right now I'm focusing on writing my third book, which is called World Peace in One Generation. And spirit, when I say spirit, I mean my spirit guides who are kind of keeping me on track. They're having me complete this book. I have one book published, The Age of the Soul, that I mentioned, which is available everywhere. The second book is coming out this year sometime. And then I have 7 books total that I'm to bring through on different subjects to get people back in touch with their soul, living from the soul, and just addressing different ways that we can do that, like from children to the 5th book is on prophecy over the next millennia of step-by-step what we're going to expect from seeing the world's, for instance, 90% of business disappearing, not having a need for it. Basically all infrastructure, all modes of transportation as we know it, disappearing at the turn of the millennium. I know 1,000 years is far off, but this book is going to give us the steps in between too, so it's pretty fascinating, as well as systems, government, and earth changes and all kinds of things. So I'm really excited about that one, and so I'm putting my energy into writing the 3rd and 4th so I can get to the 5th one because I'm so excited about it.
They all sound exciting. Jason, why don't you tell the listeners what your website is and how people can get a hold of you?
The website's jasonnelson.info, jasonnelson.info, and all my information's on there. You can also contact our business line at 818-618-2880.
Okay, now we're going to do that a couple times, so if they didn't get it the first time, don't panic. We'll do it again. Everybody knows that listens to the show. The other thing, Jason, I'd like to know, now, see, I have a 501c3. It's called A Child's Miracle Mind. And I put it together for the sole purpose of these children that have been labeled with ADD, ADHD, and they keep giving them these prescription drugs. And I really think that should be the last resort, but everybody's made it the first. So I put it together for that reason. And then what I'm planning on doing, in fact, I'm going to be moving to New Mexico next month, I'm going to be opening what's called the School of Now, which is a school that is designed to learn their ABCs, 1, 2, 3s, but they're also going to learn all the spiritual and metaphysical things that's being kind of left out in everyday teaching.
Wow.
And so when I asked if you work with kids, that was one of the reasons, because, see, if you do, once I get this school up and running, I'd like you to come down and, you know, maybe spend a little bit of time there and, you know, kind of help the children understand more. And if they have questions, they can ask you and things like that. But it won't be just yet, but just kind of keep that in mind, okay?
Sure. I'd love to be a part of that. And with my 2nd book, I'm actually going to be doing a lot of work with kids and parents and things like that. One class of which is prenatal baby talk, where I find a niche that maybe hasn't had enough energy put into it, that is this connection of parent and unborn child, parent connecting with, communicating with, receiving guidance and healing from the soul, the unborn child. And I've worked with some mothers to be with this process, and just a simple process of getting them talking to their baby and actually having the soul of the baby talk back, and how that helps them through the pregnancy and creates a stronger bond between the child and parent when the child's born, and other such classes and programs like that. So my heart really is pulled towards working with children. You know, it's very important.
Yeah, well, they are kind of our future, and somehow there's a lot of people out there, Jason, who are just not getting it yet. And so it is important that, you know, people work with the children, because they have a great deal of knowledge that we're not allowing them to share most of the time, and that's kind of a waste. You know, they'll get their opportunity eventually, but we need to have their wisdom now. You know, you talked about some of the future things coming in. And so I'm going to ask you, Jason, everybody is concerned and worried about 2012. Do you have any comments you'd like to make about 2012?
What I have received on 2012 is that 2012, and let's just say maybe December 12th, you know, 12 p.m. of 2012, just to...
Right.
Kind of make it consistent, a certain point in time. That this point in time is more of a general reference point for an era that we're in. and that when 2012 comes about, it's not going to be as people think, you know, world destruction, incredible disaster, or anything like this, or, you know, even drastic changes. I feel the changes are happening now. They'll be happening during 2012, and they'll continue to happen. That more this time that's been talked about in every religion and spiritual faith is a very, very important time when there's very advanced souls and in higher numbers coming to the planet, that there's an actual energy shift in how we live life as the human race, and the very template for human existence is changing consciously and physically and in so many ways. And it truly is an end time and a new beginning. But I've seen it more as an era, a window of time, and that there have been these peaks, energy peaks, and that 2012 is an energy peak, and there'll be peaks thereafter, and there have been peaks before, one in the 60s, one in the 80s, and so on. And there's all kinds of energy convergences and peaks. But I would say the positive thing about this is that people, it's really bringing people's attention to change and that something's happening. And there's even a feature film being created on 2012. It's sparking interest worldwide, and it's powerful. And I think we can ride this energy and use this energy to really help create peace in the world and elevate the world, etc. So I see it as a very beneficial thing, and especially all of the hype in the metaphysical community and the mainstream. It's great. It's just bringing more awareness that change is upon us now.
And again, I think it's very important because we're kind of stale. I'm going to call it stale, okay? We're kind of stale with the way that the movements haven't come about as quickly as they should or as easily as they should. So I think some change really is mandatory for us to get the full awakening that we really should have already had, and of course we don't right now. It's getting better, though. You know, so a lot of people talk about 2012, it's doom and disaster, and everybody's going to die, and there's not going to be a world here, it's all going to go away. It's like, no, that's really not what's going on, folks. You know,
right.
But that's kind of where the hype is, and that's what the media or whoever keeps trying to get people to stay in that fear factor. And I keep trying to get people out of fear, just like what you do with some of your classes.
Yeah, now, good for you.
At one time, you know, you were fearful of many things. Is that correct?
Oh, my gosh. I was so fearful of life and everything that I had manifested. I was a mess. I had chronic fatigue, chronic migraines, chronic bronchitis, tonsillitis. I had hypoglycemia. I had, oh, gosh, you know, I'd be fainting and blackout spells and doctors throwing everything at me and seeing what sticks and nothing was sticking. And really this spiritual opening, this epiphany that happened on my 25th birthday, it began an incredible shift in all of that. And the more I surrendered and trusted and followed this guidance to what I truly believe to be my path and purpose, these things just disappeared within months. It was quite phenomenal, and I've seen that with clients and students. The key here is surrendering. You know, there really is no hierarchy, as far as I see it, with where people are at. We're all on the same playing field. We're all surrendering more and more and more to our spirit, to the peaceful, harmonious, divine flow of life and our own spiritual purpose, and we're all in it together. And we can just hold hands and unify, and we're all going to make it together.
And again, it's, I believe, because when I, again, do my counseling, people talk about all this fear that they have, and I ask them, why do you have this fear? And they go, well, just look around, what's going on, you know, here in the news, all this bad stuff, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, turn off the television. You don't have to be in fear. And people really have a hard time with that, Jason. You know, they want to not be in fear, but they have a very hard time of getting themselves out of fear. So in your classes, when you're teaching, that is part of it, right?
One thing I feel that we can all do right here, right now, to heal ourselves is that we can look at every fear, every challenge, every joy, everything as an opportunity to know ourselves better and really take responsibility for our life and how we're feeling about life and life around us, so that when we do feel fear inside of us, or sadness, or anger, or anything at all, or even if we feel something's evil, the quote-unquote, whatever it is, we can take a step back with the emotion, with the challenge, and we could say, where is the opportunity here to know myself better? Because every thought, action, feeling, everything is sharing something. And every thought, every feeling, every action is like a child, just wants to be heard. So if we step back, we ask ourselves, what's the opportunity here, and really listen, then we're going, the fear itself, the experience itself will take us into the healing of it.
Again, that's important for people because, you know, you just look around and it's like I said, the media, television, radio, they all try to keep you in fear, and it's important that people do not stay in fear.
It's true.
Yeah, it's just, you know, so some of the classes, you know, that you have, like the tele ones that are free, I'm sure that if we give all that information out again, so let's give out your website again and how they can get a hold of you so that they can do that.
Sure, the website's jasonnelson.info, jasonnelson.info. This free service teleclass that I'm offering to the world is April 12th, and all you need to do is go to the website and sign up, and you'll receive the call-in information. Something that I'd like to share about fear, I have a column called Mythbusters, and people seem to love it. And it's all about dispelling spiritual myths, what I've found to be spiritual myths and shown by spirit. And it's all about cutting away these myths that are creating and empowering fear and disempowering us. And things such as, possession, for instance, and evil spirits, which I would probably say the majority of the world believe in evil spirits or some kind of evil entity force that can harm or, you know, somehow try to get in the way of our life path. I think many religions feed into that and spiritual faith. And, you know, there is a reason why people experience what they do, just like I did when I was growing up and thought that I felt evil spirits or negative spirits, etc., and there's a reason why I felt that and interpreted it that way. But there's so many spiritual myths out there, myths in general, that disempower us. And we need to understand there's a reason for every single thing we experience. We're meant to live with a sense of self-dignity and power, and self-love and self-acceptance above all, and that we were brought into this world with everything we need to begin and continue and complete our journey on this planet. And it's all within us. And this power is also within us. And the healing to this, to returning to this empowerment of our spirit is also within us. It's all right here, right now. And people just take a moment to quiet and listen, they'll begin to be guided into the healing that they need.
That's great. Jason, when somebody calls you or they have a session with you, how long does the session take?
The session is 40-plus minutes, and the sessions, we cover so much, sometimes even two huge life core issues we can clear in a session. But usually the sessions are two parts. One would be the healing, the coaching, you know, the spiritual counseling, and that's where we're going in and shifting things. Anything that is keeping someone from completely living their purpose with passion in every way, every part of their life in every way, because we're meant to feel passion in every part of our life, self-love and loving others. And the other part is the one-on-one teaching, and that's where I create space so people can connect directly with spirit themselves. People ask me, they'll ask me, can you channel my deceased father? You know, I want to talk to mom, and I want to talk to my brother. And then I say, well, would you like to talk to them yourself? And most of the time they'll say yes. And then within minutes usually, they're having this tangible feeling, seeing, hearing exchange with their deceased loved ones or spirit guides, angels, whatever form of spirit they like to contact, as well as healing, etc. So, you know, wherever we need to go, we have spirit who knows everything, and it's all intuitive, and we get an incredible amount done in a short time.
And if it's by phone, you actually send them a download of it.
I record all of the sessions, so everybody gets emailed their session recordings, and because we go over so much in the session, it's nice to have that and listen back. And some people meditate with the recordings to just take everything deeper and continue on with it.
Okay, again, which is, I think, important. I think they need to keep kind of practicing it, not just try it once, but kind of keep going over and over with it. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, and it's important to have action steps, and instead of homework, we'll call it fun work, or, you know. And I encourage my clients to stay in touch with me. I'm very supportive, so if they need to email or call, I encourage that. I'm really, the people that I choose to work with and choose to work with me, it's a partnership where I'm just as interested in their success as they are, and I take just as big a steps as they do. And it feels really good to me, and it feels really good to them to have this partnership. It's like we're holding hands and going for it, and really there's no ceiling. So as open as people are to go into the next level of life is how far they'll go.
Pretty good. You also have a store on your website where you sell crystals.
Crystal pendulums, yeah. I got many different kinds. The pendulums, I personally teach people to use to see if they're grounded in their bodies, which is very important in this time. Mm-hmm. You were talking about ADD, ADHD, and I find that being ungrounded many times is a cause of those symptoms. And so I have those on there, but people also use them for dowsing and talking to spirit and getting answers through the pendulum, yes and no's and things.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a really powerful cedarberry jewelry line, and the cedarberry vibrationally centers and grounds energy, again, for grounding. They're handmade by a Navajo woman in Arizona, but those aren't on my website currently. But most of my products are geared towards helping people to be present for their life experience.
You also have earth supplements, the powerful minerals, the trace minerals. There's a lot of people, Jason, that don't know how important the minerals and trace elements are. Can you maybe explain that a little bit?
Right. And also where they come from. The particular mineral and trace elements that I sell on my website are directly scooped up from the earth, a 200-million-year-old dried lake bed in Utah. So they have the vibration of the earth, which is great for the grounding properties. But the trace elements and the minerals, very important for the body, for us to feel solid. You know, even if you're going and buying the greens and buying all the veggies really through the last century or so, the soil's been depleted quite a bit, right? You hear about that, and it's true. And we're just not getting the nutrients that we used to 200 years ago in our food. And so it's for some people, it's good to have that as a supplement to just help their body function. And my point, again, is grounding. And trace elements are very important for staying present and grounded.
Do you think that the kids that kind of like are ungrounded, as you say, like with, that have been diagnosed with ADHD, would, you know, benefit from taking, you know, some of the mineral supplement or the, you know, the product that you have here?
Right, and that's why I have a chewables version of it on the website, because it's many of these kids are ungrounded for various reasons. Mm-hmm. They're coming in with these high vibrations. When I say high vibrations, I mean their soul's more advanced, they're more open. Every generation of kids coming in, it's almost like they're coming in differently. And that's why in the metaphysical community they have these different names for them, but you could just simply say they're more open. The veil between the two worlds is thinner and thinner.
Mm-hmm.
And there could be many causes for it, anything from parents doing drugs, marijuana, smoking, anything like that in a field would come over to a child's field and take them out because they're so sensitive to foods, sugars, chemicals in foods, to just simply not giving children the space to express themselves, right, by holding in and pushing down feelings and thoughts about their life and not being able to express them. It's almost like they're pushing them down and at the same time pushing themselves out of the moment, or you could say ungrounding. There's a lot of reasons for it, but it's definitely becoming an epidemic with kids.
Yeah, it's because, again, with the people that I read, they have kids, and all the time that I'm talking with them, if they have children around them, it will come up. And I have to ask about them because it comes up so strong that something's not quite right. And then they usually say, yeah, well, you know, he's not having a good time or she's not having a good time in school. They're trying to, you know, say that they have something that they need to have drugs for. And,
right.
You know, and I tell them, you know, really check it really, really well before you do that part. And then I have the others who already have their children on the medication. And they go, oh, but it's so much easier. And I go, yeah, but easier for who?
Yeah.
Easier for you? Easier
right.
for them? For who? You know, so it's real important, at least I think so, Jason, that people understand that there's a lot more things that can be done with these children than just, you know, the prescription drugs that everybody seems to pass out like candy.
Oh, I would say probably in most every case there's a reason, and you get together with someone like myself or yourself who can intuit that reason, and you have your solution. And this requires more time dedicated to parenting from parents. And I strongly believe that the time that in this day and age parents put into parenting and listening and really creating space for the child to develop naturally is, it needs to jump up several times. And parents, they're looking at saving time and popping pills down their children's throats to save their time of really sitting down having powwows with their kids every night, morning, or whenever, and really getting into their school life and talking to the teachers. I think also we have to understand, this is amazing, you're creating a new forum for school, that a lot of the experiences in school, I mean, school is quite traumatic for kids. It's interesting how, you know, when kids pick on each other, things like that, how yard duties or teachers, et cetera, will just say, you know, that's kids being kids type thing. And, oh, my gosh, you know, kids fearing their safety in school, mm-hmm. away from their family, and saying that's just kids being kids. I think there's a lot of attention that can be drawn to the school experience itself that can help to just create a safer forum so kids feel heard, they feel safe, et cetera?
Yeah, see, with the school that I'm putting together, every single child and every single family will have an astrology chart, a numerology chart, and also my kind of, you know, consultations that I do, to see every facet of that child, why that child can be, having some difficulties like they are, or where something's not real cohesive in the family. And then once we get all of that information on each child and their family, we can then put that child into a compatible classroom with other children that they would get along with. Not the bullies, you know, not the ones that they call the little weaklings, but in a compatible classroom setting. And so I agree again that when it comes to schools, they're doing, let's say, maybe the best they can for what they've been told, but they're really not doing the best they can.
Well, there's a lot more we can do, and it's important that you're bringing awareness, being basically an example school for other schools to follow. And I think that that's what's going to be happening more and more in this time is role models, schools being role models, even cities being role models for how a city can be green, to, you know, councils, to businesses being role models for new ways of conducting business. I believe that this century we're in is a century of incredible change and new innovations to the way we live in every way.
Mm-hmm. And it's time. You know, it's just time. Now, you also talk about meditation. How important is meditation for people?
Meditation, right? My understanding of meditation is it's a tool we can use to get clear so that we can tap into these abilities of our soul. We can intuit, we can talk to spirit, receive vision, heal, etc. Ideally, if we're living from our soul, living from our spirit, it would be something like a living meditation. We'd just be in that space.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel it's very important to help people tap into these abilities, turn them on, use them, etc. And on the other hand, I've seen meditation been abused. Now, this is my viewpoint, and I know that a lot of people probably disagree, but going into meditation for hours upon hours, you know, everyday type thing, I've seen meditation also be used as an escape. And, you know, we come down here to live and feel everything and process it and whatnot. And meditation, we can process in meditation. But we also want to be aware that we're not just going in meditation to leave our body and kind of just go in a blissful state and just be there, kind of away from life. But if we're using meditation, let's use it as a tool. And let's have a practical purpose for it, an intention for going into it, either to receive information from spirit or intuitive or heal, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. See, and again, I agree with that because there's a lot of people who think they have to spend hours and hours. And it's like, no, just let yourself daydream. It'll be almost the same thing, gang.
You know,
allow yourself. Allow yourself. And yet they say, yeah, but, you know, I meditated for 3 hours yesterday. I go, really, what'd you learn? Well, I'm not sure. Okay, well, maybe you should shorten it down a little bit so maybe you can remember what you're supposed to have learned. You know, so I think meditation is important, but I think the interpretation of meditation and how it is used and how it should be used is really not necessarily what's happening today. You know, so, I mean, those are just some points that people, I think, need to kind of understand that they don't have to sit for hours and hours and hours and then come out and not know what it is they're supposed to have learned.
Exactly. And if you know, there's sometimes you'll find you'll kind of go out and you'll just fall asleep. And people will say, well, something happened. Well, yeah, okay, something happened, and that's great. But you're right. Meditation, ideally, is a tool for having a conscious, grounded experience of the soul. Things like intuition, spirit communication, healing, etc., with real, practical, tangible results, you know, something that you can use in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so again, I think sometimes things get kind of overdone too much.
Yeah.
Now, Jason, give out your website again and a phone number if you want.
Sure. The website's jasonnelson.info, J-A-S-O-N-N-E-L-S-O-N. The phone number, the business line, is 818-618-2880. And if anybody's interested in just talking to me about my session work or class, et cetera, feel free to contact me through the web or the business line. Love to connect with you.
Yeah, it's really cool. Now, also, Jason, again, tell us the name of your books so that people know what to look for.
Age of the Soul is, it teaches us how to go in and connect with our soul, live from it, live from its purpose, and use the abilities that lie within our soul, like spirit communication, intuition, our creative power, healing, etc. And the book's available everywhere. Amazon, you go to your local bookstore, and if it's not in stock, they can at least order it. It's available on my website. So definitely encourage people to buy the book if they're interested in further exploring their intuition and spirit communication or healing, or really just developing a sense of their passion and their purpose, etc. It's given by my divine guide, Rohan, who came to me in January 2006 and communicated this book to me within, it was about 6 weeks or so, 8 weeks. I basically just sit down at the typewriter, and as fast as I could type, the book was written, and it kind of blew my mind away. But the chapters lined up, and everything was very intelligible, and definitely Rohan has a distinct demeanor to the way that he writes and speaks in the book directly to the reader. It's quite an adventure to go on.
It sounds like it'd be a lot of fun. But isn't it funny, Jason, how when spirit wants to speak and they want you to write a book, you don't have a choice, you just sit down and do it? That's how mine came about, okay?
That's
I didn't have
true.
A choice. I argued with them and argued with them, and they wouldn't leave me alone. I finally said, all right, you know. But then once you do sit down, mostly the channel books come so easily, and the information there is so great, and it's like, I did that? No. The channel will help me do that? Yes. You know, but that's usually the best books are written like that.
Yeah, and they're, like I said, they've been on me. Spirit has to finish these other books. I'll just share something real quick that I think is interesting. I wrote an email yesterday or a day before, and I shot it out, and it came back, and it said, Catherine. Now, Catherine is my teacher who taught me 7 years, everything she knew, and crossed over in August, so now she's teaching me from the other side. But it's funny that I send this email, it came back as it couldn't send, and the two was to Catherine. And that's literally impossible. So I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, okay, Catherine. And then she starts coming in, she says, when are you going to write that book? We've been on you for duh-duh-duh-duh-duh.
Yep, they have their way of doing that, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Jason, one more time, give out the teleseminars, when it is, and you know, the time and all that, so people kind of know.
Sure. The free service that I'm offering to the world is Going Beyond the Veil teleclass. It's April 12th, 7 p.m. Pacific time. All you have to do is go on my website, jasonnelson.info, and register, and you're in, and you'll receive the call-in information, and we'd love to have you. It's a great forum to deepen your connection with spirit, your own spirit, and your spirit's abilities.
That's great. Now, one more time, give out the whole website and anything else you want to give out before we run out of time.
Yeah, it's jasonnelson.info, J-A-S-O-N-N-E-L-S-O-N.info. The business line's 818-618-2880. And again, I'd love to hear from you if you're further interested in classes or sessions or want to share a story even. Thank you.
Great. Okay, Jason, I'm going to ask you one other question, and I don't know if you can or if it will work. Is there anything from Spirit coming through that they would like the listeners to hear?
The message from Spirit is there is hope. There's hope. So many people, so many families are feeling hopeless in different ways in this time. It's a challenging time. It's also a great time. But there is hope. And you're not alone. There's Spirit and the great divine with you right now. Right now, as you're listening to this, and in the next moment and the next moment, the divine is with you. And if you want your life to be easier, they are standing by, just waiting to help you make your life easier. And it's just a matter of opening up and asking and listening, believing.
If you were new at this, Jason, how would you go about asking for them to come in and help you?
Well, the best way is to just treat them like you would any other person. That's what I always say. If you're mad at God because things aren't going your way, let God know it. And don't judge yourself for it. Spirit doesn't judge you. Whatever you're going through, whatever you need, just let Spirit have it. The more real, the more authentic you are, the more easier it will be for Spirit to come through and really give you information, feelings, maybe a healing, whatever it may be. But A, be authentic, and B, don't judge yourself for being authentic.
Mm-hmm. And that's great info. You know, a lot of times when I've like really had a very bad day, you know, and it's like there's just been so much that I've, you know, gone through and helped people. When I go home at night in the car, that's my safe place. I'll sit there and I will yell and I will ask them that they got to show me something. They put me
that's
here
right.
to do this. You don't know what you've done to me right now. And I go on and on and on, okay? So anybody sitting next to me in the car, they would think I was just a nut. But I don't care. I don't care. Because it is important, Jason, that people know that if they are upset, they need to let them know they're upset. You know, and it's not that they don't know, but they need to have your passion, let them know that it means enough to you to say something and get that attention that you want. You know, so when people, you know, are upset and I tell them, man, yeah, I yell at them when I'm in my car. They go, you do? It's like, yes, I do. Because it's needed, you know, there's just days that it's needed. So, you know, I think it's really great that, you know, you gave that out to people because I don't think a lot of people knew that that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay and it helps.
And so, people, if you want the help, do what Jason says and you ask for help, right?
Indeed.
Okay, now, Jason, one more time, just before we go off air, please give out your website and your phone number again.
The website's jasonnelson.info, jasonnelson.info. The business line is 818-618-2880.
Great. Jason, it's been a lot of fun having you on air, and I was very serious about when I get my school open, you will be hearing from me.
I hope so.
Oh, no.
I'm excited.
You will. I may call and say, hey, Jason, I'm having a hard time with this idea. What do you think? Okay? So don't be surprised if I, you know, get a call and say, hey, I need a little help.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you on, Jason, and I hope you've enjoyed it. I know the listeners have, and it's going to be up on the BBS radio website. And so everything that we talked about, there's information for you on there along with your website address, too. So, Jason, thanks for being on the show. It's been great.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. You take care. I'd like to thank you, the listeners. May God bless all of you. Have a great week, and take care of each other. Bye now.